And now on 1170 SEN Breakfast, Vossie's Verdict. For Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
Yes, for Chemist Warehouse and my verdict this morning, well, this is it. Another T20 World Cup beginning this weekend for Australia. It is the seventh T20 World Cup that has been staged, and we are yet to win one. The West Indies have won twice. England, India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka have all tasted success previously. The Aussies have also only made the final once, and that was when they went down to England way back in 2010. Of course, we wish them well for this campaign, but this is certainly a case of last chance saloon for this squad, you have to think. You would have to think there will be an overhaul if this squad fails to fire. And birth certificates will be part of that review. You can't escape from the fact this is an ageing squad. When we play the tournament opener against South Africa tomorrow, it is likely we will have just no more than two players under the age of 30. And might I add, only just. Adam Zampa will be there. He's 29. And either Pat Cummins or Ashton Agar, I reckon, will be included. They are both 28. If you're not aware, this is our top side. Aaron Finch, about to turn 35, the captain. David Warner will turn 35 in the next few days. They're our openers. Steve Smith is 32. Glenn Maxwell, 33. Matt Wade, 33. Mitch Marsh, 30. Marcus Stoinis is 32. Mitchell Stark, 31. Kane Richardson, 30. Now, that's not drastic if they are all playing well, but there are plenty with question marks, none more so than right at the top of the order, Finch and Warner, our two oldest players. The majority of the squad have had plenty of great moments in their careers, but I reckon this is sink or swim stuff. The result of the first game could be massive. If there is failure early, the pressure cooker and the pressure of scrutiny and analysis is going to go through the roof. Is it the best we've got? Is the starting 11 even the best within the squad selected for the World Cup? Are there younger players who should have been there? It'll be questions of an interrogation level if Australia begin badly. So I ask this, will it be a case of, come on Aussie, come on, in the positive, or will it be, Aussies, come on?
Vossie's Verdict for Chemist Warehouse. Get free delivery within 3 hours powered by DoorDash when you spend over $30 online at Chemist Warehouse. T's and C's apply.
You can have your say on that. Is it the best we've got at the T20 World Cup? Have your say on the McDonald Jones open line, 1300 01 1170, or text 0457 736 736. Of course, big story revealed yesterday afternoon. The AFL have a basically no jab, no play policy that is being implemented, that all AFL players and club football program staff must be vaccinated, and it is the same with the AFLW. It is a clear black and white policy that the AFL announced. Where does that leave the NRL? Well, Andrew Abdo yesterday ruled out rugby league following suit at this point, revealing that there will instead be two sets of protocols for vaccinated and unvaccinated players. He confirmed the stance on a new business program called the Front Office on 7 Plus, which is hosted by our very own Jimmy Smith. If you haven't heard the NRL stance, here is Andrew Abdo right now.
We're not taking an approach of making this mandatory. However, clearly, we need to make sure that we have continuity of the competition. We're creating a safe work environment. And so we are busy working on the protocols for the players that are vaccinated and a different set of protocols for the players that are not vaccinated. And hopefully, we're talking about a very, very small group of players that choose not to get vaccinated. They will have, I would imagine, some pretty rigorous requirements around what they will be able to do in order to train and play.
To me, that was a key part of the statement there from Andrew Abdo when he said, hopefully. I feel that's the policy of the NRL at the moment. They are hoping this doesn't become an area that they have to make the black and white statement the AFL had. They are hoping the players, encouraged by their clubs, will be all vaccinated. And when we get to, you know, December, January, we are only talking about a handful of players, literally. That's what I believe the NRL, where they stand at the moment. But you can have your say. Has the NRL got it right? Has the AFL got it right? 1300 01 1170, text 0457 736 736. Well, this is a huge weekend because tomorrow we have the T20, the Super 12s commencing, and you can watch every ball of the T20 World Cup live and ad break free during play, exclusive to Fox Cricket and available on KO. Australia versus South Africa first up, and we have Fox cricket expert, very popular figure in Australian cricket. In fact, next year it'll be 10 years since he last played for Australia. How time flies. Brett Lee, welcome to Breakfast
morning,
with Aussie.
Bobby. How are you, mate? Good morning.
Not too bad. I was just going through the career stats. By next year, it will be a decade, Brett. Does it feel that?
Is that right? No, well, I'm still playing backyard cricket with my son, Preston. So, yeah, still rolling the arm over. Not in that competitive state anymore, of course. But, yeah, that's flown. That has really gone so quickly to think, you know, international cricket being 10 years. Wow, I wasn't aware of that.
Alrighty. Well, can I, first of all, as a fan, a lifelong fan of cricket, how excited are you? See, we're getting back to normal. The Ashes is just around the corner. The T20 starting tomorrow. As a cricket fan, you're pumped?
I'm more than pumped. I'm so excited. You know, this is what, not only the cricketing world, but I think the Australian public are being desperate to sort of see, get out of lockdown, get back to some form of normality and to watch some amazing cricket on TV. So, you know, as you mentioned, we've got the T20 World Cup starting tomorrow. The Aussies are in action against the South Africans. We've got the Ashes, which has been confirmed. The Pom's going to come out and hopefully it'll be a 5-0 drumming. If you're asking Ben McGrath, he'll definitely agree with me. But yeah, look, it's just great to think that we are back to watch the sport that we love. Had a wonderful footy season. Now it's back to cricket. It's so exciting.
All right, I'll ask you some tough questions now. Seeking direct answers, Dave Warner, does he open the batting in your side tomorrow?
100%. I mean, I could not be any clearer with my understanding with David Warner is that he's a massive match player. He loves the big stage. He loves the lights on him. He loves the sort of World Cups. And look, to be fair, he hasn't had a good run the last couple of weeks. I think it comes down, Vossie, to a number of things. I thought he was treated very poorly from his Sunrisers Hyderabad franchise. They dropped him first or stripped him of the captaincy, dropped him from the team. And, you know, when you've got a guy in the, you know, Indian Premier League set up where they have the orange cap, which is the most runs per season, he's won it three times. He's always there and thereabouts. Down on his confidence, he's going to bounce back. He's got a duck. He's got one. He's saving the runs for when it counts, and that's against South Africa tomorrow.
All right. Fingers crossed. Okay, I'll ask you this directly. Is Australia a genuine chance of winning the T20 World Cup, or would even just making the semi-finals be a huge result?
Well, it would be a huge result to get the semis or to even make the finals, but I'm optimistic. I'm looking at the Australian cricket team, the talent that we have on show, the amount of talent, the sort of calibre of players that can go out there and dominate in with a bat, ball, and the field. And I'm actually surprised as well that we haven't got that silverware in the cabinet. It's been one, aspect of cricket, one sort of part of the game where we haven't dominated. You talk about Test cricket, we've dominated in that over the years, the Aussie cricket team. The one-day format, the boys won World Cups. But you think about this format of the game, we've struggled. So I really hope we can turn around. The answer shortly is yes. But, you know, they can definitely go out and win this tournament. But when you've got teams like New Zealand, probably England, and I think India. India, to me, are the ones who are probably the favourites.
Yeah, well, you have a great affinity, always have, with India. I mean, they do look very strong. The final warm-up game was just a little reminder as well. They seem to tick every box. And with form as well, with the quantity of players that have been playing the IPL as their warm-up.
Well, when you say they tick every box, you know, they do. And what also they enjoy are the slower, lower conditions. And when you think about where it's being held, the UAE, you know, there's a lot of games on slow, low wickets. It's not conducive to fast bowling. It's going to take a lot of turn. There's some games in Dubai. There's games in Abu Dhabi. So they have played a lot of cricket there recently. They've just come from the IPL where they've had success. You know, you think about someone like a KL Rahul. I'm actually going to put him down from India, KL Rahul, who was the orange cap, the most runs in the recent IPL. To me, he will be the standout. He will be the one that could take India to the finals, and whoever knows, it could be an India versus Australia final, hopefully.
All right, good shout there. Now, this is a question without notice. So I'm intrigued, and we'll be able to see this all through the Fox coverage, but Sri Lanka have this ambidextrous bowler, Kamindu Mendis. How did you go with the opposite arm? Or the number of cricketers that you've watched that may have not done it at the elite level but thought they could? Did everyone have a crack at their other arm?
I'll go the first part of your question. And, you know, you're right. It is exclusive to Fox Cricket and obviously Case. It's the only place where you can watch it. If you ask one of my co-commentators, Andrew Simons, he would not go as ambidextrous. He used to call people that could throw with both arms amphibious. So... I'm going to have to go and ask him that question. Look, okay. I think in all seriousness, I've actually played against a guy that he came in and bowled seam up. You know, it's only about 130 km, but he bowled right arm over and then said he's going to bowl left arm off spin. And we were like, wow. So, you know, you think about guys, you think about David Warner that can generally bat both hands. You think about Mike Hussey, who's obviously with Fox Cricket as well, started off as a right-handed batsman. And because of the shape of the backyard, and because his brother was right-handed, he went to left-handed to emulate, you know, another Fox Cricket commentator, the great Alan Border. So there are a lot of guys that are ambidextrous, but yeah, I mean, playing at that international level, doing both, it's pretty incredible.
All right, just while I've got you, one last comment too on the Ashes around the corner. Now, you've had a bit of fun there. You clean sweep, clean sweep. A bowler's assessment of the bowling attack, Brett. Are they coming out with a right attack? Is it a threat to whatever Australian batting order we put together?
In terms of the English attack?
The English attack, yeah. Do you see them doing a job here?
Absolutely. You know, when you think about who's on offer, Mark Wood bowled some decent pace last night. He's in the squad. But you go to who's dominated with the ball. Jimmy Anderson, 630-odd test wickets. He could go down, Vossi, as the greatest fast bowler ever played the game, and you probably wouldn't have thought that when you first saw Jimmy Anderson burst on the scene. Wonderful guy, great competitor, his partner in crime. You look down there and you see Stuart Broad. I mean, over 500 test wickets. They have a phenomenal partnership. They will give some hurry up to the Aussie cricketers, and I'm just, the concern I have is that we have to lock away what is our best five, our top five batting order. Let's get that locked away. Let's give the guys and from a selection point of view, I'd love to see whoever they pick in the first test, whoever it is, back them for three tests. Give them six opportunities.
Yeah.
Of course, the Poms are going to come really, really hard at this top line for the Australian cricket team.
All right. Great shout there, Brett. It's all about to start. So much to look forward to, and we tuned into Fox beginning tomorrow, Australia versus South Africa. I know you'll have fun. So we'll be tuned in. Look good, sound good. We're going to love it.
Go on, you Vossi. Always good to chat, mate.
And now on Breakfast with Vossi, the back page with David Riccio.
By the way, I should mention you still need to wear the masks in the reception areas or the change rooms at the gyms as it stands. All right, David Riccio had the story in The Telegraph. It'd be just under 2 weeks ago now that he'd exclusively revealed the vaccination numbers in the NRL. And you had the Broncos dragging the chain, 65% first jab of their top 30 players on the roster. But teams like the Eels and the Sharks, you're up. Almost 100%. So some clubs are ahead of the game. David Riccio, where do you stand today? Do you believe the NRL actually have a policy, or are they just hoping all the players will get done and the clubs will look after this? What's your thoughts?
Oh, good morning, Vossi. Well, look, the NRL will claim they're working on a policy for basically players that aren't vaccinated. That's where their policy will finish. I think there's a little bit of bet each way. They're having a gamble on the numbers. They're playing the numbers, Vossi. And to be fair, they're in a pretty strong position at this point in time. Three quarters of the 16 clubs of players contracted to a top 30 contract have received their first jab. Eight of the 16 clubs, as of 2 weeks ago, were over 80% first jab. However, I'm not saying there won't be an issue. I believe there will be. I believe that across the 16 clubs, I think every club will have at least one player that won't vaccinate. Now, that is going to create some issues, and that is where I come back to the policy that the NRL is working on for those players. And they will be operating under a different rhythm to every other player within their team. We saw it in the NBA. We saw it in the NFL. And how players are treated and have to, as I said, operate under different rules. The key, though, Vossi, and on the back of the AFL's decision yesterday, is that the Melbourne Storm, they fall under that same category as well, where every single Storm player will need to be vaccinated. I spoke to the Melbourne Storm CEO yesterday, Justin Rodsky, and he confirms that he's very confident that every one of his players will be 100% vaccinated.
And that also assists Melbourne, being based in Melbourne, flying, travelling. Yes. I mean, that was always going to be a problem. Every second week, they are on a plane. And that was one of our texters got in touch too. You know, a work site is Amy Park, so therefore, and you've answered that question. So the top eight you had vaccinated over 80% in your article just under 2 weeks ago. Eels, Sharks, Bulldogs, Cowboys, Rabbitohs, Warriors, Storm, Seagulls were those eight clubs. It is all over the back page today, obviously, in the Telegraph. Were you surprised by the AFL? Like, it is just so black and white what they've put down.
Yeah, I must admit I was a little surprised, to be honest, because I think there's a case for an argument that it could create more issues than what the NRL path at this point in time has taken. So the NRL are banking on some time, still 2 to 3 weeks before players will start drip feeding back into training. The AFL are going to have, they're clearly going to have some issues that players won't vaccinate. I suppose either side of the fence, there's going to be some players sitting outside that bubble of vaccination. From the NRL's point of view, Vossie, for the Melbourne Storm example, their plan is to return to Amy Park next year. They're absolutely certain that there will be NRL clubs, Sydney-based clubs, Queensland-based clubs, that have to travel to Melbourne. They won't be able to travel with one of their players. And I'm getting some information that a couple of star players won't be able to travel and play in Melbourne. A couple of star players are choosing not to vaccinate at this point in time. So, there's going to be some hurdles, absolutely. But I believe the numbers will be low.
Great report, David. Back page. And also on the back page today, encourage our listeners to read the story. Reg Gazier's grandson, Jack Williams, has signed on with the Dragons. Good story there. David, look forward to your pieces in the Sunday Telegraph this weekend. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Vossie. Go well, mate.
On Breakfast with Vossie, a sports update with Michelle Bishop.
All righty. Also, Michelle, I don't know whether you can get to McDonald's this weekend, but they've got the socks. You can grab a pair of the silly socks for just $5. All profits go towards helping seriously ill kids and their families at Ronald McDonald House, available at participating restaurants while socks last. And that's all in the lead up to McHappy Day, Saturday, November 13. I know we're on radio, but I think we should probably buy 5 pairs of silly socks and wear a different one every day. How does that sound?
I reckon I could make 5 trips through the drive-thru. Not a problem.
Yes. Oh, so true. I'll have a happy meal with 6 nuggets and an apple juice. Thanks. The toy, of course. Bloody oath, want the toy.
Love a chocolate sundae.
Ken Arts. Hiya. Now, the NRL AFL vax stance. It is a massive story. I've just run through some of the detail there. David Riccio and our listeners making great points about the Melbourne Storm. I mean, based on what's been announced yesterday, the Melbourne Storm have to have 100% vaccination to basically get on with the job in Melbourne.
Absolutely, they do. Look, the NRL's being really wishy-washy with this. And you're right. So in Melbourne Storm players, they'll have to be double vaccinated to be able to play in a stadium in Victoria. But look, the AFL, they've announced yesterday that contracted players and staff will not participate in the AFL or the AFLW competition in 2022 unless they are vaccinated. And look, so what that means is, you know, if a player sticks their hand up and says, okay, no, I'm not vaccinated, not double vaccinated, they'll be placed on an inactive list. They won't be able to train. They won't be able to play. They will have to come to some arrangement ultimately, and that could mean, you know, them parting ways, sacking, see you later, full stop. But as we say, the NRL, their formal policy, you know, hasn't been finalised. And it's definitely at this stage not mandatory to be vaccinated. But Andrew Abdo has come out and said that, you know, he wants to make sure that they continue the competition, creating a safe environment. They're still working on their protocols. They will definitely look at policies in place for vaccinated and different rules for the non-vaccinated. But, you know, I think the NRL's waiting for the decision to be taken out of their hands. They're being the good cop, if you like, at the moment. They've still got a bit of time on their hands. And they're going to let the public health orders, I guess, dictate and do all the heavy lifting. There will be ramifications, across the board with this. We've just talked about the Melbourne Storm. I guess that box is ticked for them, isn't it? That's one team the NRL won't have to worry about. It's the rest of them.
Yeah. Look, we knew this was coming. Jim on the text says, and I like this text, whether you agree or disagree with the stance, this is what Jim says. Three cheers to the AFL just for making a decision. That's as clear as crystal. Whether you agree or disagree, at least you know where you stand. Normally, most sporting associations in Australia make decisions that are as clear as mud. I think that's pretty good text from James there.
Brilliant text.
He's made that point. You know, and that is the truth. The AFL, and maybe caught some by surprise, just how emphatic it was. And it's across the AFL and the AFLW. So keep the text coming, 0457.
You cannot go in without being vaccinated, double vaccinated.
Yeah, yeah, and that's it. And there is now certainty, clarity going into the off-season and off-season training. So it is all right there. By the way, I've got a knock-knock joke for you coming up from Eric, but let's carry on with the sport. The Grand Prix Steel, is this really on? Could Sydney host the Australian Formula One Grand Prix? Is it a real thing?
We are on fire at the moment, and we've outdone ourselves, New South Wales. Like with the racing, we haven't actually stolen the Melbourne Cup, but we've certainly got a huge emphasis on the spring racing here, and that's only just 5 years old. So at the moment, Seven News revealed this story last night that the race is up for renewal. The contract expires in 2025, let's look back at, I think it was 96 or whatever. Melbourne stole it from Adelaide, but the New South Wales government's reportedly considering a plan to lure Formula One, so the Melbourne Grand Prix, to Sydney. Could you imagine what a backdrop that would be with the Sydney Harbour? It would just be absolutely amazing. Sell right around the world. We're apparently cashed up in that space too.
Well, my advice to those that are behind this, ramp it up. Ramp it up! Let's bring the Grand Prix to Sydney! Giddy up. That'd be fantastic. Sorry if I just went through your speaker system there. Now, there's a great story. Look, this is an amazing story that's come out of the UK. We talk about, you're always on the lookout for potential in any sport. Young star talent, and you sign them. You're about to tell me that Arsenal, the Gunners, have actually signed a four-year-old? A four-year-old
boy,
is that
right? Can you believe it? We've had to foster talent in sport all the way through. It's just been forever. That's how it is. But this four-year-old living in London has caught the eye of Arsenal. Zain Ali Salman, his name is. He's exceptional. His skill level, unbelievable. In fact, he's running rings around kids twice his age. They got him from preschool, and you did hear me, and it's four, not 14. They got him from preschool. Straight in amongst the 5 and 6-year-olds. He had speed to burn. Just was a lot more willing and enthusiastic, if you like. Unbelievable balance was another one of his attributes. So they bumped him into the older playing group of the 8 and 9-year-olds, and he still survived. They were absolutely gobsmacked at his striking ability. And how articulate he is as well, pretty sharp. And his dad said that at an early age, there was signs when he was just not after being born, the nurse put him on his stomach and he literally lifted his head and have a bit of a look around. So there was those early signs of sort of strength. But he's had a few sessions now, and the club believes he's definitely a star of the future. And Arsenal isn't the only club interested in recruiting him. Other clubs are now approaching the parents, but he's a Gunners man and wants to stay there. He's got his own Insta page, 7,000 followers.
Of course.
Boy, can he dribble. And I don't mean the man, the kind that you need a bib for. If you get on his Insta page, you'll be able to see him dribble. It's pretty spectacular. And we've seen this in other sports. I mean, well, I was reading up on this, and we saw this in Formula One with the McLaren team signing up a 12-year-old, a karting prodigy. It's rare, but four out of preschool. Goodness me. What about the pressure on the kid?
Well, actually, we've got a little bit of audio. This is a story that's appeared on the BBC website. So the young fella's name is Zain Ali Salman, and a talent scout actually spotted the play. Like, a talent scout has watched this. Let's have a little listen from the BBC.
My name is Zain Ali Salman, and I am 4 years old, and my favourite team is Arsenal.
This kid is doing something that he shouldn't be doing. The way he's striking the ball, it just looked too sharp for someone that age.
There you go. Can you just one last one? Can you see Wayne Bennett, the Dolphins' first signing? Can you see Wayne up there saying, "Well, I've actually signed little Willie Wilson. He's four, and expecting him to come through 2036." Could that be
they
Wayne? That's a really bad Wayne impersonation, but.
Yeah. They dead set wheel him out in a wheelchair, so he's lost the plot.
All right. Okay, now your knock-knock joke from Eric, who we've opened a can of whoop-ass with this week and invited me onto the show each day to come up with a knock-knock joke for you, Michelle. He says he's also asked, can I do some riddles too? We'll have to work on that. But his knock-knock joke today, Michelle, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Radio.
Radio who?
Radio, I'm not here. I come.
Oh,
wow. Dear. Yeah, wow. Who was this?
Nothing like that to get you into your weekend.
Yeah, Texas Tony's. I'll have to get back to you on the riddles, Eric. Texas Tony, by the way, says, I have to say, love the show. Definitely the GOAT. It's sad to see Katie Brown move on, but Michelle is doing a great job. Well done, guys. So you've won the support of Texas Tony. He's a hard marker. You've won his support.
Cool. We love Katie too.
I thought your acceptance speech was very good, actually, to Tony's congratulations. All righty. I see
thanks,
you back
Tony,
here at
8:30. That's delightful.
Let's go to the McDonald Jones Open line. 1300 01 1170. Jamie from Darlinghurst, talk to me about the vaccination policy. Jamie, what's your thoughts?
Hey, morning, Vossy. Happy Friday. Hey, look, I just thought I'd bring perhaps a point to the table that I don't believe you discussed earlier when you were talking about this. And it's just the differences, I guess, between the NRL and the AFL in terms of the vaccination policy. The thing you've got to remember, I reckon, is that the NRL has a lot of, like, Pacific Islander and, you know, those Fijian players, right,
yep.
that come over and play for us. They tend to be very religious, right? And there are a ton of them that would be, you know, I bet relying on perhaps that religious exemption and things like that, not to get vaccinated. So I just think that's a relevant point to bring up when you're talking about this. Definitely a key difference between the NRL and the AFL. And, you know, the game prides itself, I guess, on being multicultural and inclusive and all that.
It does, so it does indeed.
I just kind of wanted to make that point, you know.
Jamie, I say it's a very salient point, absolutely. I will note this, that when I quoted in the David Riccio interview, talked about the top eight clubs in terms of vaccination rates, the Warriors are in the top eight. They've already got over 80% of their squad on the way to being fully vaccinated. So that's interesting. And then across the ditch, when you talk about that, in New Zealand, Air New Zealand was one of the first airlines to come forward and say, no jab, no fly. And that's domestic flights. That's their entire fleet, you know, the number one airline. So New Zealand, if we think we are being, you know, conscious of that fact, then perhaps those at the absolute coalface are ahead of where we are at. But I appreciate your point. I think the NRL are trying to please everyone at the moment. The holding pattern is okay. I don't know for how long they can hold for. I think they're waiting to see what numbers they come back with. But, Jamie, good call.
On Breakfast with Vossie, a sports update with Michelle Bishop.
Who loves her racing. Michelle, we've had tips from The Shadow, David O'Driscoll from Sportsnet, from Sportsbet, rather, and very confident David O'Driscoll, as he always is. He's picked three at a good price. Do you have a special for this weekend? Is there one that you want to share with the listeners? Any standouts or you want to do?
I'm just absolutely awful, but always the bridesmaid, never the bride. I just think it's her time. In the invitation, the Brad Widdop trained Ice Bath. Really solid without winning. I just think her form in the Epsom, she just had absolutely no luck and conditions haven't been great, but I think tomorrow it might be her time to shine. Like a bit of rain overnight. But look, I've got a great story, though, from the invitation. And this is from a Queensland trainer, Rob Heathcote. Now, he had Rothfire in the Everest, and there was a massive setback with that. That was supposed to be the star of his stable. But Startante will line up tomorrow in the invitation. Now, this is like a really cool sort of yarn. A bunch of owners were sitting around and they got drunk and they basically said, oh, let's pop her into the Golden Rose. So it was all too late. They had to pay a late entry fee. And if you've got a lazy 37,000 sitting around, I suppose you can do that. So they whacked up the 37,000. She ran in that. She ran sixth. It was a really, really good race. They pocketed 10 grand. So just, you know, keep note of the maths. They then said, right, let's back her up in the flight stakes. That's a group one race. The entry fee there, again, late. They whacked up 22,000. She ran third in that, and they're thinking, gee, we're onto something here. This is great. And as that group one, 70,000. So you do the math, she's sitting now $10,000 in front and tomorrow lining up in the $2 million The Invitation. Obviously a late entrant into that as well. But all over a drunken conversation one night, you know, the pathway is just amazing.
Ah, the Sport of Kings delivering many great stories around this time of year as it does each and every spring carnival. So there you go, Ice Bath, the Michelle Bishop tip for this weekend. By the way, Davo's reacted to my story about the kidney transplant from the pig. He says, you're not telling porkies, are you, Vossi? No, I'm not, Davo. No, not at all. Not at all. True story.
Hey, wouldn't it be nice just on that, Vossi, yes, my father-in-law has a valve in his heart that's from some sort of tissue or whatever that's from a pig as well. So they must. Right. Pigs are really useful, clearly.
Absolutely, absolutely. They said that the idea of the transport is nothing new, but they've got to this stage. I mean, it's a very advanced stage from where they were. So we monitor that story. Now, look, wouldn't it be nice if we could one day report on Ben Simmons in the positive and feel good about him? And seriously, so he, and I will say the expression. So the report is today, and I'm being as crass as you can get, he dogged it. He's turned up, he's dogged it from training. That's, he's passed medically fit, and he's just said, nah, I'm not training.
Perfect way to put it. Yeah, another drama. But more importantly, the 76ers, they basically think he's a fraud and he's faking injury and mental illness, which is like, that's a massive call even on their part this day and age to be calling out someone when it comes to mental illness. So they're obviously, you know, very confident in what they're thinking. But he basically went to a couple of medical staff and said that he had some lower back issues, tightness in the back. They looked over him. They thought he was fine to play and also to train, but he went home. He didn't stick around. He's obviously waiting to debut since being benched in the final series last year. But look, is it going to happen? This is painful.
Given what that Patty Mills did earlier this week, what Josh Giddey did yesterday, tomorrow we would have had, if Ben Simmons puts his hand up and pulls the finger out, we would have had Ben Simmons on one side of the court against Patty Mills representing the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, it would be potentially or possibly the biggest week for Australian basketball ever to have all these players, you know, play on this stage and Simmons v. Mills, how good. And Ben Simmons, you let the image of Australian sports people, we have a go, everything. You are so not the Australian sportsman, Ben Simmons.
How's it going to end? How's it all going to end, Vossi? When? Oh, man. It's painful.
Getting paid more than any Australian sports person. I mean, does money mean that he has lost integrity? Something that he obviously doesn't realise what the value of that is. Now, one of the big story, the biggest story of the morning has been the NRL AFL vax situation. It is like AFL v NRL at the moment. We've been running our poll this morning. I've got to say, our listeners basically are in admiration of the AFL for what they have done. They say the NRL are lagging behind and there's true leadership in the AFL. Is that what you're detecting?
Well, it is a little bit disappointing because the NRL was leading the way they just, you know, continued to plough on through the pandemic and find a way. And it was the AFL back then being very wishy-washy about it. And look, it's not as if it's this present moment in time that it's been a timing issue. They've had plenty of time to sort of sit back now and get all their you know, things in order. But yeah, the NRL commission, no formal policy at the moment. They're kind of going to go back to the drawing board and have a think about their protocols. Andrew Abdo has said that they will have policies in place for vaccinated and different rules for non-vaccinated. But the question has to be asked. I mean, there's sides like the Melbourne Storm. That's already sort of taken care of. They've ticked that box because if your players are going to play interstate, like the Melbourne Storm, they have to be vaccinated to play there in Victoria. And that'll happen right across the board. So, you know, any team with any players that aren't vaccinated that go and take on the Melbourne Storm away from home or in Melbourne, they won't be allowed to play. So it's the ramifications of this are pretty huge.
All righty. Now, our poll that we've been running this morning on our Twitter account at VossiSEN, and the question, straightforward, should the NRL follow the AFL lead and make COVID-19 vaccinations mandatory for all players? The yes, this is with a big slab of votes now in. The yes vote running at 76%. The no vote is 18%, undecided 5%. We did give that option to our listeners. So that's overwhelming. 76% of the fans. The fans that they're to get into stadiums to watch the players are going to have to be vaccinated. Are saying the NRL have to follow suit to the AFL. So there you go. That's the poll from 1170 SEN this morning. Just on your ice bath tip, one of our listeners says ice bath is like a normal woman, always late. There you go. We're allowed to pass on texts like that. There you go. So no,
what's
no
the truth?
In your tip. Well, that's
for many
true.
Of us,
no,
I am.
True.
Hands up.
Yeah. One of our listeners also wants to know, what was the second tip from David O'Driscoll? Second tip. Well, I'll give you all his tips. Randwick Race 4, number 15. Randwick Race 5, number 8. And Race 8, number 4. The tips from David O'Driscoll. For tomorrow, when the Shadow likes Brisbane, Race 1, number 3, Irish Sequel, and Race 4, number 3, Cloak. If all our tipsters get their tips up this weekend, there is some serious money to be won, let me tell you. You're all gone at prices, you guys. It's outstanding stuff. Well done. Michelle, what's been the highlight of your week? We're thinking of introducing a new segment next week. I haven't discussed it with the team, but we're thinking of a segment. Red light, green light.
So oh, gosh, not that. Good, that's hit my household too. It's pretty sad when your 11-year-old has to tell you about it. I was like, what? What is this?
I think we're going to play that today, a game of that. But, when you think about everything that's happened this week, is that 4-year-old signed by Arsenal the best story of the week that you brought to us last hour? I mean, you cover sport, you live and breathe it. Well, today we're talking about a 4-year-old who's been signed by the Arsenal Gunners. What an incredible
it's crazy.
World we live in.
Yeah, no, it has been. That is a big highlight. But look, you know what? Just being in your presence, Vossie, has been the highlight of my week.
There we go. there's people grabbing for a bucket there. But there we go, Michelle. You have a great weekend. And that story you brought to us last hour, this kid's name, and his name is Zain Ali Salman. In fact, we got the grab of him. Just so, Michelle, thank you for bringing us this report. This is a 4-year-old who has been signed to the Arsenal Gunners Pro Academy or Pre-Academy, pre-the Academy. He's only 4 years of age. Here you go.
My name is Zain Ali Salman and I am 4 years old and my favourite team is Arsenal.
This kid he's doing something that he shouldn't be doing. The way he's striking the ball, It just looked too sharp for someone that age.
And that's the talent scout, who's a lot older. But that's an amazing story, Michelle. Have a great weekend.
Extremely articulate as well, Vossie.
Well, just amazing. There we go. That is football. In the world game, Michelle, have a great weekend. This is Breakfast with Vossie, 1170 SEN.